Thanks for tuning in to the Catalyst Church Sermon Podcast. Our church's mission is to help people far from God find life in Jesus Christ. For more information about Catalyst, go to www.thisiscatalyst.com. Now let's listen in.
Well, thanks, Timmy. Let's hear for Timmy. What's going on with our youth group? Cool. Good stuff. So like Chris was saying, during our 20-day fast, can you imagine doing a 40-day fast? During our 20-day fast, what we did was we presented that concept to you, and one of the reasons that we presented that concept to you was while you fast, the idea is that you are more aware and more intentional about your time spending that you're spending with the Lord, your time in prayer with the Lord. And as a result of that, we started hearing a lot of questions about prayer, about how do you pray, and how do we know when God is answering our prayers and things like that. So we're going to start a new series this morning. It's called Teach Us to Pray. And there's a passage of scripture that Jesus' disciples say that very phrase to him. Jesus, teach us to pray. And I think because we have so many questions, there's so many things that are unknowns to us about prayer, and there's issues that we struggle with, and it's hard for us to sometimes kind of grasp the power and the necessity of prayer. I have this video for you that I think may resonate with you. It's a video that I think highlights well maybe some of the confusion behind prayer. So take a peek at this video, and then we're going to jump right into this concept of Jesus teach us to pray. Take your eyes to the screen. All right, so I think that brings up a lot of things that we struggle with. How do we pray? Am I supposed to pray next to the bed? Am I supposed to cross myself? Do I pray at meals? Can I only pray at church? Do I pray at the end of the day? Do I pray at the beginning of the day? Do I have to close my eyes? Is it okay to pray for sale prices? Is it okay to pray for shoes? Is it okay to obviously pray for somebody who's broken their hip? And I think we of all different times in our life probably struggled with the concept of what does it really mean to pray? What does it really mean to engage in conversation with a heavenly, holy Father? And how are we allowed to access that heavenly Father? He is perfect, and we're far from it. So what we want to do over the next several weeks, the next 2 weeks after this morning, is we want to talk about what is prayer? And this phrase, teach us to pray, comes from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. And Jesus' disciples are hanging out with him. And it says this in chapter 11 of Luke. It says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And Jesus said to him, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So what we want to do this morning is we want to start kind of chipping away at this question. What does prayer do? What does prayer look like? Why do we pray? And this morning is going to be kind of like the umbrella for the next couple of weeks. This is kind of the overarching introduction to what we're going to be looking at. Next week, we're going to get a little deeper. Week 3, we're going to get really practical. But for today, I just want to try to address this overarching question, is what does prayer do actually? Because the assumption, rightfully so, is that prayer does something. In the question, what does prayer do, we're assuming that it does do something, and that's the right assumption to make. And I want to say this, that prayer is probably our greatest Christian privilege. It's intimate, it's powerful, but I think if we're honest, we probably would have to say that it might be one of our greatest failures as believers because we just don't fully understand it. And because we don't fully understand it, we don't fully and as deeply engage in the gift of prayer that God's given us. We wonder if God really hears our prayers. We wonder if God's going to answer our prayers. And then we wonder, like, okay, if God does answer our prayers, how am I going to know when he answers it? Am I going to miss his answer? Can I pray for whatever I want to? And God has called us into relationship, right? We know that. Jesus died on the cross so that we may have a relationship with the Father. And relationship requires communication. Any type of relationship that you find yourself in, whether it's a spouse, whether it's a friend, whether it's a boyfriend, a girlfriend, coworker, neighbor, every relationship that you are in requires, demands for the health of it, for the longevity of it, for the life of it, it demands communication. And prayer is communication between a holy yet accessible Heavenly Father with His beloved children. And what prayer does is it creates intimacy. And prayer aligns our hearts with God's heart. I like that word align. It meshes our heart with God's heart. It connects us to the heart of the Father. That's a beautiful picture. Prayer is communication with our Heavenly Father. So what does prayer actually do? Well, I love this quote by a guy named Karl Barth. He's a Swiss theologian. This is what he says about prayer and what prayer can do in our lives. He says, prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of this world. Wow, that kind of elevates what prayer is. It is an uprising against the disorder of this world. What he's saying is we don't have to settle for the chaos of this life. If we're followers of Jesus, we don't just have to be like, that's just the way it is. No, it's the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of our world. It has potential to bring understanding to our life. Prayer has the potential to bring sense. It has the potential to bring peace. It has the potential to bring order to the chaos that we see in the lives around us. And it is an active force. It's an uprising against the disorder of this world. So we pray because it's a privilege. We pray because God designed and created an opportunity to speak with His children. As a parent, I look for ways to engage my children in conversation. And they went through like their teenage years where they don't want anything to do with me and I didn't know anything and I couldn't possibly have anything figured out and all of my advisors really stupid until somebody said the exact same thing I did, then it made perfect sense. You know how that goes, right? But as a dad, I do everything I can to create pathways to have conversations with my children. Why? Because I love them and I want to get to know them. And I want my children to know the heart of their father. And as a father, I want to know the hearts of my children. And God did the exact same thing for us. He created a pathway to have conversation with you, His beloved children, because He wants to know your heart and He wants you to know the heart of the Heavenly Father. And prayer is the direct link to make that happen. And it is a privilege that I feel like sometimes we just do not fully take advantage of. It allows us to approach God. And I think that there, just as there's a lot of different maybe reasons that I would have a conversation with you, there's a lot of different ways, a lot of different reasons that we can have conversation with God as well. And I hope this morning, as we wrap up a little bit later this morning, that you have a little bit better understanding of what your conversations can look like with God. And I'll be honest with you, I said this morning when we were praying for our service, I know full well you're probably going to remember what Kevin James said this morning way more than what I say. I'm cool with that. I'm okay with that. But I hope that you'll at least walk away with an understanding that we can pray, and there's some really cool steps and a process that I think we can enlist to make our prayer life balanced and, I think, effective. But when I'm talking to you guys this morning, this is coming from my personal experiences. This is coming from my perspective. This is not an exhaustive overview on what prayer is. This is not an exhaustive theological discussion on all the different aspects of what prayer can be. This is from my heart to your hearts. This is what I have observed as a follower of Christ the majority of my life, where there were seasons of up and down, there were seasons of love and passion, but this is what I've observed in my life, and I just want to pass four things on to you this morning. And the first thing is this. I said that prayer builds our relationship with the Lord. That one's kind of obvious, right? But prayer builds our relationship with the Lord. I'm called to pray because it's the key vehicle to building my love relationship with God. I learn about Him. I allow Him to embrace me. I allow Him to care for me. I point out my needs to Him, and I ask for Him to fill them. I need to listen to Him, and I desperately need to talk to our Heavenly Father. And where does all this happen? It happens in prayer. I love what the Apostle Paul prays for in the book of Ephesians. He prays this. Paul prays to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge. And where do we experience this? We experience this in conversation with God. We experience this as we pour open our lives and our hearts to our Heavenly Father. We experience this in prayer. And when we get honest before God, we're on His turf in a really unique way. Seldom, as I've looked in my life, seldom do I get closer to God than in the times of prayer in my life. And I'm coming at you this morning as a person that struggles to have an active prayer life. This is not something that comes easy for me. This is something that comes as a daily challenge to force myself, to remind myself that I need to pray. The good news is we don't have to fully understand all the aspects of to pray, right? We just need to pray. I don't fully understand exactly what makes my truck run, but I know I can drive it, okay? I'm not mechanically minded, but I know if I hop in my truck, it's going to work, even though I don't fully understand it. I know that when I pray, even though I don't fully understand all the aspects of it, I know that it works. And prayer builds our relationship with the Lord. And I think the longer that I live this out, the more I think that one of the chief reasons that we have this gift of prayer is so that we can learn to receive, experience, and then return the love of the Father. To receive and then to express the love of the Father in our worlds. And prayer is the one place that God can really get at us, which is really kind of weird because I think sometimes we think when we're praying, we're trying to get at God. But really what's happening is when we pray, God is getting at us. God is getting at our hearts. God is getting at our minds. And because of that, we see the second thing that prayer can do. It helps us determine God's will. This, to me, is probably one of the most mysterious aspects of prayer. How do I know when it's God's voice versus my own voice? How does prayer help determine His will? The cool thing is Jesus gives us a little bit of an example of what it looks like when we pray and how we can see God's will played out. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus goes to prayer. And here's an interesting thing. Even though Jesus was God, what do we see Him doing time and time and time and time and time again in Scripture? He's in prayer. He's going to His Father. He's in conversation with His Heavenly Father. Always and constantly. So I take it as like, dude, if Jesus needs to pray to have connection with His Heavenly Father, how much more do I need prayer to connect with my Heavenly Father? But we see this example in Luke chapter 6, starting in verse 12. Jesus is alone in prayer. It says, on one of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. He spent the night praying to God. I have never in my life stayed up all night long praying to God. But Jesus was so dependent upon His connection to the Lord that He spent the whole night praying to God. When morning came, He called His disciples to Him and chose 12 of them, whom He also designated as apostles. And He chose Simon, who would be named Peter. He chose His brother, Andrew, and John, and James, and Philip, and Bartholomew, and Matthew, Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who would become a traitor. He prays all night long for something that probably right then and there to those around Him seemed insignificant. Oh, there's Jesus. He's going to go spend the night in prayer again. And the topic of His prayer probably didn't make a whole lot of sense to the followers at that point. But what He's praying for is for God's wisdom, for God's will to determine out of all the masses of people that are following Him, who is He going to invest in? Who are the 12 men that He's going to pour His life into so that when He is no longer walking on the face of this earth, His gospel message would continue even though He wasn't there to teach it and profess it Himself? So what may have seemed really insignificant turned out to be a history-altering night of prayer for Jesus, because Jesus' commitment to prayer and commitment to seeking God's will allowed him to determine the 12 men that were going to follow him, the 12 men that he was going to pour into. And now because of those 12 men, 2,000 years later, there are 2 billion people on this planet that say they're followers of Jesus. What seemed really insignificant was Jesus focusing intently on hearing God's voice to determine his will on who was going to carry his mission forward. Obviously, we need to know how to pray the way that Jesus prays. And I think one of the steps in determining what's God's will for our life is not only that concerted, focused time with God that Jesus demonstrates to us, but there's another step, and a theologian named John Wesley puts it this way. He says, I find that the chief purpose of prayer in seeking God's will is that prayer gets my will into what? An unbiased state. Once my will is unprejudiced about the matter, I find God suggests reasons to my mind why I should or should not pursue a certain course. A purpose of prayer there is that is to get our wills unbiased. It's for us to go before God and say, okay, I'm going to be like the Etch-a-Sketch, and I'm going to shake it, and I'm going to be a blank slate before you, God, so that you can script what your will is for my life. And as we spend more time and we discipline ourselves to spend more time with the Lord and develop this ability to hear his will, we go before him and our will is wiped clean so that we can understand what God's will is for our life. And we need to take away those preconceived ideas of what God's will should be for our lives. Because oftentimes there's a battle of the wills. There's a battle of our will butting up against God's will for our life. We say we want to be followers of Jesus, but as soon as God reveals what that truly looks like, we butt heads with him. Like, well, that's not exactly what I was hoping you were going to say, God, so I'm going to kind of fight this one. That's too hard, God. That's not what I wanted you to ask of me. That's not the answer that I was looking for. You're not giving me exactly what I'm asking for. And we butt wills with God's will. And one of the purposes of prayer is to condition ourselves and train ourselves that when we enter into those times of prayer, we go in there as a clean slate. Say, God, speak to me. Jesus, going before God. God, show me out of all these people who have been following me, who are the 12 that I need to spend time with? Who are the 12 that I need to invest in? Who are the 12 that I need to train up to carry on? And once we arrive there, and I think it's going to take some time, but God shows us through our minds and through our hearts what his will is. And I think because this is one of the most challenging aspects of prayer, part 2 next week, I hope you come back for, is teach us to listen. Teach us to listen. The whole message next week that Pastor Chris is going to share with us is teach us to listen and to hear and understand what's God's voice in comparison to what's just our voice. So I hope you come back next week for teach us to listen. Prayer does this other thing in our lives. It strengthens the bond between believers. Prayer unites us. Not only does it unite us with our Heavenly Father, but it unites us as brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't only strengthen our relationship with God, but when we pray with other believers, it unites us and it strengthens our bond between each other. That's why we get up here week in and week out, and we tell you very specifically, if you have something that you need prayer for, please let us know. We want to pray for you. We take your prayer requests very seriously, and we pore over every single prayer request that comes in. Not because it's like, oh, look at the pastors and the staff. Their prayers are more important than anybody else's, so I'm going to submit my prayers to them. No, it gives us the opportunity to lock arms with you and be united with you and you united with us. Because I really believe that shared experiences develop a relationship in a way that few other things do. When we can share in an experience that we are praying for together, that creates relationship. It deepens relationship between believers. When we entrust the hurts of our life to somebody else, when we entrust the hopes of our life to somebody else, that deepens and gives a depth to relationship that I don't think very many other things can do. It helps us accomplish what the scripture says is the one another's. Love one another, encourage one another, bear with one another, care for one another, be kind to one another, honor one another, be devoted to one another. We carry each other's burdens. When I lift a corner of that burden with you, it is lighter and less weight on you to have to shoulder by yourself. And we exist to shoulder and carry each other's burdens and celebrate each other's victories with one another. It deepens relationships. Luke 18 says we should always pray and never give up. We should always be in prayer. We should always be in prayer for one another. We should always be encouraging each other. We should always be lifting each other up. Always be praying, not just for yourselves, but always be praying for those that are around you, your brothers and sisters in Christ. I think when we pray with others and enlist them to pray for the things of our life, that strengthens our ability to never give up. When I know that I'm called to always consistently be in prayer, when I know that there's others that are praying for the exact same thing as me, that energizes me to continue to be praying for that issue. When I know that I got a brother, I've known Neil since he was just a little kid. He was in our youth group. If I know Neil is praying for something that's going on in my life, that is an encouragement to me to keep praying, and it strengthens me to know that I got a brother in Christ that's not going to drop the corner of that burden. And even if we don't necessarily get the answers that we want, we know that there's somebody out there that's praying with us. Guys, what we're going to do for these 3 weeks is Ram and Melissa Delgadillo have asked a handful of people in the church to make themselves available for these 3 weeks to pray for you. And what we're going to do when Brian and Hannah and the band come up and wrap us up in worship and we're taking communion, those people are going to be available in the back. We'll crack open those doors, and those people will be available in the back for you to go get prayer. And I know sometimes that seems really awkward, it seems uncomfortable, and we've tried this in the past, and it hasn't always gotten a lot of traction, but I would just encourage you, knowing that that is one of the specifics of prayer, that it strengthens the bond between believers, I'm going to encourage you that if you came this morning with a burden, if you came this morning that you need others to come alongside of you and lift you up and lift this issue up with you, the people will be available in the back by the communion tables in the rear. You don't have to come up here, not a bunch of eyeballs on you, but we'll have people for these 3 weeks specifically praying for you. I want to make that available to you. So as soon as worship starts at the end of our service, if you've got something that is just heavy in your heart, you can go back there and know that there's people that are going to lift you up this morning. So take advantage of that, okay? The last thing that prayer does for us, I think it fulfills emotional, physical, and spiritual needs in our life. It fulfills emotional, physical, and spiritual needs in our life. It's very important to understand this, that we are inviting God into our lives when we pray. We're giving him an all-access pass to know what's going on. We were made to function best emotionally, spiritually, in prayerful relationship with God. I think I have about just as many quotes as I do scripture this morning. I got another quote that I think is just so great. It's from C.S. Lewis, I love this guy. He's that author that when I read a page out of one of his books, I have to read it a second time and then a third time to really understand what the heck he's saying. But this is what C.S. Lewis has to say about this concept of fulfilling emotional, spiritual needs. It says, God designed the human machine to run on himself, not himself internally. But God designed the human machine to run on himself. He himself is the fuel our spirits were designed to burn, or the food our spirits were designed to feed on. There is no other. When we pray, God is growing us. He is strengthening us. I mean, have you ever prayed and not immediately gotten a response from God? That's probably a lot of our situations. We pray for something, but we don't immediately hear from him. Well, what do you do in that situation? Oh, he didn't hear me. No, what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to continue to pray to develop that discipline of prayer. We keep praying and we keep praying and we keep praying to develop us spiritually, to mature us spiritually, to persevere. Hopefully, that's our perspective, that we keep on praying. And then as we continue to pray, we are also searching our hearts and we're searching our lives to see if there's anything that as we pray and we're waiting, if there's anything that is muting God's voice in our life. Because if there's unconfessed sin in our life, if there's anger in our hearts or lying or deceitfulness, if there's anything in our hearts that is not of the Lord, in those times of prayer, hopefully that comes to the surface, because if those things are left intact, I always envision as like a brick. If there's an unconfessed sin, it puts a brick right here. And if there's more unconfessed sin in my life, another brick, and another brick, and another brick, until the point where there's this wall built, and you can kind of still hear God's voice in your life, but it's not as clear. You can kind of hear God's voice in your life, but it's not as accurately as you could, because it's muffled and it's muted, because that unconfessed sin in our life begins to dull God's voice in our life. So one of the ways that prayer grows us emotionally, physically, and spiritually, it also reveals to us, those times of prayer reveals to us what we need to confess and what we need to ask repentance for or be repentant over. So we can keep moving forward in relationship with God. God uses prayer to fill areas of deficiency and offer forgiveness in the areas of life where we need it. So what you're saying is we're asking God to do things that He already knows we're going to ask? Well, yeah. That's the beauty of God being omnipotent. He's all-knowing. He's all-powerful. He knows what we have need of before we ask. But we are commanded, we are taught that we need to definitely, specifically pray and ask. Not to impress God, not to inform God, but to invite God into all aspects of our life so that we might have right fellowship with Him, so that we might grow, so that we might learn what it means to really be dependent upon God instead of being dependent on others or dependent on ourselves. Again, it aligns our hearts with His plan and aligns our hearts with His purposes. So that question in the video, is it okay to pray for the shoes that she wants just as much as it's okay to be praying for the old lady with the broken hip like we saw in the video clip? That question comes up a lot. And I would just say this, I can only understand it from a dad's point of view. I don't have a lot of scripture to back this up. This may not be 100% theologically accurate, but from a dad's point of view, and God is our heavenly dad, I want to do what I can to meet the needs of my children. I want to provide for them. I want to give them shelter. I want to give them food. I want to give them clothing. I want to equip them the best that I can. That's me and Amy's job as parents. We want to meet the needs of our kids. But you know what? Also as a dad, there's just times that I just want to do some fun things for my kids. And like I said, I don't have Bible verses to back this up, but I think sometimes not only does God meet our needs, and I believe that He does meet our needs sufficiently more than we can ask for, but I think because He is our dad, I think sometimes He just likes to do fun things for us as His kids too. Is that theologically accurate? I don't know, but I've experienced it in my own life, you know? And maybe you've experienced that too. Are you clapping me off the stage? Am I done? Is my time up? I got 6.5 minutes left. So let's make the best of them. This is one of those topics that thankfully Jesus gives us a detailed explanation about. And I want to refer us back to Luke chapter 11. We're going to close with this. I think it's going to be on your screen. You can look it up on your phone. Luke chapter 11, Jesus does something really great for those of us that He knew would be coming thousands of years after His life. He lays out a template. He lays out an example of what it could look like to be in prayer. And He says this, "Father, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come." And this is from the NIV version. So if it's a little bit different than maybe the King James version you grow up with, that's why it sounds a little different. But "hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come. Give us each day Your daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation." Now, some of you are probably brought up to recite this each and every week in church. Maybe it was one of those things that at the end of the worship service, you all stood and you recited the Lord's Prayer together. One more quote from you guys from a theologian, a pastor named R.C. Sproul about that concept, about that mentality. Jesus did not give the Lord's Prayer with the intention that it would be repeated mindlessly. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we need to pray it thoughtfully, given attention in our minds to its content. It is not a mantra to be repeated without the engagement of mind or heart. It is an example of godly prayer. We can use this as a template for the components of prayer. Now, maybe you grew up going to church, and you have some history in church, and maybe at some point in your life, you heard about the acts of prayer. A-C-T-S. It's kind of it's an acronym for a little template for prayer. And what that stood for was the A was the ask, C was confess, T was thanks, and S was supplication, which is a really fancy churchy word for supplication is like asking. Yeah, thank you. I totally blanked on the word. The A is adoration. That's why I stumbled out of the shoes on that one. A was adoration. C was confess. T was thanksgiving. S was supplication, the ask in it. But I have a little bit of an updated version of it that I want to reveal to you guys. And for those of you that went through Rooted, Rooted crafted their own acronym. And there's a group of us going through Rooted right now. So if you're in Rooted right now, this is going to sound really familiar because I'm stealing it right from the Rooted workbook. But the way that Rooted puts it is they call it pray. P-R-A-Y. And it hits all the different aspects of the Lord's Prayer. And this is the model that they use. And this is the model that I'd like for you to think about, okay, this week. Because what this model does is it brings balance. When Jesus reveals his prayer to his Father, in that prayer we see great balance of the different aspects of our heart when we approach God. And in this acronym, P is praise, R is repent, A is ask, and Y is yield. What does that mean? Well, the first couple are really easy to understand. Praise means we just worship God. In your prayer time, spend time praising God for who he is, that he is your provider, that he is your Father, that he is the healer, that he is your Alpha and your Omega, that he is the beginning and the end of your relationship with him. Praise him that he is omnipotent, that he is all-powerful. Praise him that he is everywhere at one time. There's no other being on the earth in the universe that has the ability to do that. Praise him for everything that he is. And there's so many scripture that just elevate God's name. When you spend time in prayer, elevate God's name. Yes, amen. The next thing you need to do and you need to find balance for is you need to repent. Like I said, if there's unrepentant sin in your life, it will begin to dull and mute the voice of God in your life. It will be harder and harder and harder for you to discern his voice in your life because there's this barrier that exists. But each time that we go before the Lord and we repent, we're just knocking down those barriers so that there's a clear, easy pipeline to hear God's voice. So we need to spend time praising him. We need to spend time repenting. And also, scripture is super clear, ask. Ask. Just like your mom and dad, they sometimes said yes, they sometimes said no, they sometimes said wait, but ask. Present your request to God. Ask and you shall receive an answer. Not necessarily what you're praying for, but you will receive an answer. And I think this is the one that we probably spend way too much time on. The whole, this doesn't equal this, you know, that thing. We do treat God like that. So the idea of pray is balance. And the last one is yield. When you're driving your car and you come up to an intersection or whatever, and there is a yield sign, what does that mean you're supposed to do? You're supposed to pause. You're supposed to pause, you're supposed to look at your surroundings, you're supposed to see what's going on. And after that pause, you move forward. Yield in our prayer life is being quiet and listening and pausing, pushing the pause button, closing the mouth. You know what they say? We have two ears and one mouth, so we can listen twice as much as we talk. And we're quiet before the Lord. And we yield. We take what he tells us, and we move forward with it. I think yield is probably the hardest aspect of prayer. We overdo it with the ask, and we underdo it with the yield. Right? I could be totally wrong. That's just me. That's just the area that I struggle in. I, God, and more. Did you hear me, God? Did you hear me? You know? Because that's my thing. Like around my house, I repeat myself a lot. Not like because I can barely hear. I have really bad hearing. But the other thing is, like, I want to make sure I'm heard. And I think sometimes we act that way with God. We want to make sure that he hears us. So we just keep talking and talking and talking and talking and talking, and we forget the pause and the beauty of the pause. We keep in mind that the prayer, this PRAY acronym, just simply serves as a model that can guide us. It's not a rigid formula to follow. There's no canned approach to prayer. What I love about things like this is it just, like I said, it brings balance to our times of prayer. So there's times where we're elevating God's name, when we're recognizing the sin in our life and repenting, that we're going before our Father who tells us that we can approach him and make our request to him, and we're also just stopping and we're sitting in the beauty of the silence. This last little paragraph I have here comes from the Rooted book, the Rooted Guide. It says, prayer demonstrates our active dependence on God. When we turn to him, we acknowledge we need him. We remind ourselves of the truth of his word that circumstances around us may seem to contradict. When we pray, we remember who God is, what he has done, what he will do, and what he has promised. This is when prayer becomes more than words. Ooh, can we close out that song? More than words. Remember the old, yeah. That's the only time you'll ever hear me come anything close to singing publicly. Yeah, yes, you're welcome. And I know that. I'm a great shower stall singer. That's about it. Like they say, I can't carry a tune in a bucket. But what I want you guys to do, each we're going to try to give you an action step. What I want to encourage you guys to do, and the acronym is in your loop when you came in. At some point every day this week, pray the pray model. In your times of prayer this week, find times to praise God. Find time to repent of unconfessed sin in your life. Find time to ask. And then find time to push that pause button and be quiet. So that is your action step for this week. Each week, like I said, at the end of each sermon, we're going to give you a little bit of a homework assignment. But every day this week, and it's going to be a challenge if you're not into the habit of prayer, but every day this week, pray this model. And I'll say this, that the more that you pray this model, the more natural it will become. And you may not have to, like, physically think about it every time you do it, but you get into a natural state of praise. You get into a natural state of repentance. You get into a natural state of ask. You get into a natural state of yield. So your homework this week, pray each day. Maybe write some stuff down, too. What's it like for you? Let me pray for you guys. God, thanks for this morning. Thanks for the opportunity to talk about the beauty, the fact that you give us the opportunity to have conversation with you. The creator of the universe wants to converse and have intimate conversation with his creation. How beautiful is that? And I would pray this morning for my friends in this room that they would kind of take the challenge of bringing balance to their time with you. Bringing balance of not just always asking for themselves and filling the silence with their voice, but being quiet and listening for your still small voice. Scripture says that your voice is not in the noise; it's in the quiet. It's in the whisper. Your voice whispers to us, God. I pray that we would pause and yield so we can hear you whispering to our lives. And Lord, I pray this morning for anybody that may be here that has never even prayed a prayer to invite you in to be their Lord and your Son to be their Savior. Lord, I would pray for them this morning that maybe one of the prayers that they have, maybe today, a prayer they have this week, is a prayer of forgiveness and a prayer saying, God, I'm sorry that I live my life without you. Would you please take over? Would you please be my Lord? I accept your Son Jesus as my Savior. I accept that he died on a cross for my forgiveness. God, will you be my Father? I want to be your child. And you enter into a relationship that will never, ever be taken from you, a relationship that will never be broken, a relationship that will never change. God is the Alpha and the Omega. I pray for you this week that you will find times of fruitfulness, times of depth, times of joy with your Father. We pray these things in your Son, Jesus' name, amen.